This is Pastor Emery. The sermon you will hear on this tape was recorded wrong on the tape. Actually, somehow or other, the tape was turned over, and it was recorded through the backside of the tape. That means that it was very, very low in volume, with a tremendous amount of background or tape noise. We have increased the volume so that it will be loud enough on the cassette tape. However, that naturally increased the background noise also. It is impossible to do over at this point in time, so I do pray that you bear with us as you listen to the tape, as it will be a little hard to listen to. Thank you for your patience.
Manasseh a wicked ruler. There are many times in the history of our own nation where many Christians despair of their national leaders, both their political leaders, the ecclesiastical leaders, and even in the business and the great corporations. And Christian people especially are beginning to see that Christian morality is not the norm. It seems to have disappeared, and unrighteousness and wickedness is involving the nation. And they turn, as is normal, and Israel has always done, they turn towards the national leader, and they say, well, what we need is a great national leader who will turn to Christ, and then the people will turn. And they are strictly true because they have the history of the Bible that when Israel went to Israel came, turned to God, the people did, and the people did. So we're going to read about an evil king, an ancient Judah by the name of Manasseh. Turn to read the 2 Kings chapter 21. We're going to begin in 2 Kings 20, right near the end, and then we'll read on to chapter 21. 2 Kings 20, verse 1 and 21. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, if you read the previous chapter, or if you know from your having read before, Hezekiah was a very good king, a very godly man. He had turned the whole nation back to the kingdom of the God of Israel. Now, Hezekiah has died, and this is his son, Manasseh, or Manasseh, as son of Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now, I just mentioned that many Christian people are disturbed when somehow not they consider wicked rulers in this land. What do you think our situation would be if we had one of our nation's presidents ruling for 55 years? Well, some have told me, well, Franklin Roosevelt was very wicked king and destroyed the money and power of this land. Injured this nation, and he was in there for quote such a long time. Well, we're talking about a king here who did evil in the sight of God, and he was there for 55 years over the kingdom. That would be from one generation right on into the second one and beginning on the third. There are a king in national leadership and in national leadership was evil. And so on, what he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up all his prevail, and made a grove, and made a grove as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. So the reading about these things, a great revival had taken place under his father, Hezekiah, and apparently he turned right around and built up the worship places to the idols his father had destroyed, and turned Israel like that, to worshiping all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I set my name, And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So he went right into the temple of Jehovah and built altars for the false gods. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used intent and dealt with familiar spirits and leaders. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set the greatest enemies of the gold that he had made in the house, which the Lord sent to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, so I put my name forever. Now David had gathered the material Solomon had built the temple. This was the temple where God said he would dwell in that temple and in the children of Israel. But here is this wicked king right in the temple of Solomon and putting the wicked and evil idols and worshiping the stars and the hosts of heaven and so on, not only out in the land or his own house, but in the temple in Jerusalem. Neither will I make an interest with Stephen again what God has said about this temple. Neither will I make the seed of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations and the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. This is not part of the sermon, but since that word seduced was in there, I wanted to tell you about it. It's translated from a Hebrew word, ha'ah, which means, according to Psalms Concordance, cause to go astray, deceive, cause to err, cause to wander out of the way. So, next time some of the so-called Hebrew teachers talk to you, ask them about this word, where this Manasseh seduced the whole nation of Israel. Also, you'll find in Isaiah 19, verse 13, where Egypt was seduced, and Proverbs 12, 26, where it says, the way of the wicked seduces the wickedness of them. So, wickedness itself can deceive the person who commits it, then they're doing more wickedness. It means their own sinful ways lead them into further transgression. And here we have the king, the ruler in Israel, who ruled for 55 years, leading the whole nation astray. Verse 10, and the Lord spake by his servant the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly, above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears will tingle. Just the hearing of what would happen would make the ears tingle. And I will set on the Jerusalem the lion of Samaria and the promise of the house of Ahab. I will wash Jerusalem as a man washes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Now I couldn't interject here the chronology of this so you understand the time in which this happened. We read that Manasseh came to the throne of Judah at 12 years of age, and this was in approximately 697 B.C., or about 25 years after Samaria fell, and the northern half of Israel had been taken into the Assyrian captivity. And the last king up there who was so evil was King Ahab. He was one of the last kings of Israel. So the fall of the northern kingdom into the captivity of Assyria is very recent history at the time we're reading this. Manasseh came to the throne approximately 25 years after it fell, so the events we're reading of here would be 25, 30, 40, 45, possibly up to 60 years after the fall of the northern house of Israel, and that's still only a short time. That would be like today, reading or discussing something about World War I. A lot of people would be alive in Judah who were there, who were alive at the time. Most of Israel was taken into captivity at that time. So, recent history, God said, I will search over Jerusalem, the line of Samaria. He approved the Jerusalem or the line of Samaria. And the prophet of the house of Ahab, and remember Ahab and the whole family of Israel, And I will write Jerusalem as a man writes a Greek, writing it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a sorrow to all their enemies, because they have done that which is evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Now notice, although King Manasseh is the immediate instigator of this series of wickedness, God does blame the whole nation. Remember, Hezekiah turned them to righteousness, his son who was right around turned them to wickedness. And we had to have the circumstance, the cooperation of most of the people. It didn't come without the people turning too. So God blames the people. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, so he had killed Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin wherewith he made good of his sin, and the doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and all that he did, and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So we're going to turn now to 1 Chronicles 33, which pretty much tells the same story, except it has some additional details and history of Manasseh's reign. 1 Chronicles 33 begins the same way. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen. Everybody turning in their Bible can find it, aren't they? Okay. 2 Chronicles 32. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And then if you read on down through verse 9, you will find that an identical story, in other words, a double witness as to the tremendous sins of this king and what he caused these people to do. Verse 5, he built altars for all the hosts of heaven and the two courts of the house of the Lord. And then they were witnesses that he defiled the temple in Jerusalem. And in verse 9 it says, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to hear, and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Now you might think that these things are not really that important, and on the other hand, you might recognize that that's our situation today. God said of these people that this king had caused, and of course the people did, worse than the heathen. And what had God done with the heathen? He had destroyed them before the children of Israel for what they had done. Here is God's people. Here are God's people doing worse than the heathen God had destroyed. Let's go back and read some of the things here. Genesis 18. And we'll read a few things that took place among the heathen whom God had destroyed in the land of Canaan after Israel came in. Genesis 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. And remember, we discussed this last week, that their ordinances be laws or edicts or commands, or the way they be them. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances, you shall do my judgment, and keep my ordinances, to walk therein, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a man do, he shall live in them, I am the Lord. And then it begins the rest of this chapter, which is a warning of some of the things that the Canaanites did, which they know they ought to do. Verse 6, none of you shall approach the any that is near to him to uncover their nakedness. eyes on the Lord. And then that goes on to verse 17, which is a command against nudity. Well, you know that violated the miracle, of course, and apparently this is one thing that uncommanded they should not do. And here's an interesting one, verse 18. Neither shall thou take your wife to her sister, to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, beside the other in her lifetime. If we'll read the margin there, it could read, thou shalt not take one wife to another, beside the other in her lifetime. Some of you folks know the Mormons, and there are other people who believe that a man can have more than one wife, and yet this was because God made against Canaan and told Israel not to do that. Listed here in the sins of the Canaanites. Then there are several more, and you can read all these, and you should read all these, and I have a sermon on this subject titled The Seven Kings of Canaan on this chapter. But in verse 24, defile not in yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which are cast out before you. God listed the specific sins that the people in Canaan were doing, and God said, if you don't do that, I am casting them out for it. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself, promiseth altar and heaven. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. But Israel was commanded not only not to do this themselves, for they were not to allow anyone in the land of Israel to do what the Canaanites had been doing. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land and every one of them, that the land fear not you out also when you defile it, and it fear not the nation that will before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the soul that commits them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall you keep my ordinances, that you commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein, I am the Lord your God. Now, if you read that chapter, of course, later you recognize that many of those sins of these ancient Canaanites, which Israel commanded not to do, are committed in America today. Turn to Deuteronomy 18, we begin reading in verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of the nation, after these people who were the Canaanites in the land of Canaan. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a timer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. All sorts of witchcraft, devil worship, and fortune telling apparently were extant in the land of Canaan. Israel was warned not to do that. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them off from before thee. For Israel was told very plainly in the centuries prior to the rulership of Manasseh that God had driven the Canaanites out for specific sins. And here we find that Manasseh and Israel were doing the same thing. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God for these things, if thou shalt possess hearkening unto observing the times and unto the writers, that it shall be the Lord thy God that not suffer thee so to do. Turn to Deuteronomy 25, and of course you realize I'm only reading a portion of these because there is passage after passage in here where God warns Israel to follow his commands. He would add, do not do as the heathen, or do not do the abominations of the heathen. As a warning repeated for the time. Deuteronomy 25, here is one of the abominations of the heathen. We begin in verse 13. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, is there any small? Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, is there any small? But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have. that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all the useless things, in other words, all the hell of these measures by which they rob and plunder other people, all that useless things and all that do unrighteousness are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now we know that we have in America today a debt usury money system that is allowed by us. People charge usury on debt just like we did in ancient Babylon and ancient Canaan. We can read the history of these places and Tyre and all those cities. They're built on usury on debt. And an unrighteous, ungodly system, God was told, God told Israel they should not do that. Let's go back to 2 Kings 17, because remember, we are reading of a king in Judah after, not before, but after the house of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, had been taken into captivity. So we have already had the example in the adjoining nation that God had taken them into captivity for their sins. 2 Kings 17, verse 6, and this is the prophet here in the writing of what had happened to the northern house of Israel. 2 Kings 17, beginning verse 6. In the ninth year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, and carried Israel away into Assyria, and placed them in Keilah and in Hebor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the New. And here's the reason. For it was so that the children of Israel, and remember, this is the northern house of Israel, not Judah per se, that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things which were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the rocky to the tenth city, and they set them up images and groves in every high hill, and under every green tree, and there they built incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereas the Lord had said to them, he shall not do this thing. And reading about in the northern house of Israel. Verse 15, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimony that he justified against them, and they followed vanity in the same vein, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like that. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. And as I read this, I remind you, I'm reading about our forefathers too. You'll wonder how this could take place in modern America, but I'm reading about what our fathers did. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantment, and sold themselves to be evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left at the time of Judah. So here is what happened to the northern house of Israel, and then we're reading of the events in the southern house of Judah, of 30 and 40 and 50 or 60 years later, and what are they doing? They are doing exactly what their brethren did in the northern house of Israel. Even give that example. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 9 and 10. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to hear and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And then let's read on. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. So prophets came, and ministers and preachers and people told them they should turn from their wicked ways. Just like there are ministers around this land, telling America and the descendants of Israel the same thing today. Let's say here, but they would not hearken. And you say, Well, how could they be so dumb? Couldn't they see what happened to their brethren in the adjoining country a generation ago, 50 years ago, or 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, whatever happened at this time, it went on for perhaps 40 years. Now, my answer is, how can we be so dumb? Haven't we seen what has happened to our brethren in Russia and in Eastern Europe and in Latvia and Estonia and Bulgaria and Romania and Slovakia and Poland and East Germany? They have been taken captive under Red Bolshevism within the last two generations. And yet here we sit doing all of the same things as put our ancient fathers in captivity. A great part of our race, our Israelites, are already in captivity again, and we think the people in Judah are stupid. No, we are doing the same thing the people in Judah did under Manasseh. They had the example, as we have the example, and more recently we see other nations of our brethren fallen. Rhodesia is already fallen. South Africa may be on the way. Our own nation is infiltrated by the Red Bolsheviks to the extent they have political power, they have economic power over us, and all the corruption, the ways of the heathen, the abominations of the heathen, that cast Israel out of the old land, are being practiced in America today, and supposedly we can understand what's happening here. Same thing. That's why this record of history was given to us, so we would learn. Now, Judah and these people had the record of the adjoining nation of Israel, but we have a record in detail, and we know what is happening in Europe, and in Africa, and among others of our race. Now, is it possible that we in America are following the ways of the heathen, doing all these abominations, and is it possible God is going to deal with us, like he dealt with our fathers? And the Lord spake to Manasseh and his people that they would not suffer. All right, this is what God did in this place. Therefore the Lord brought upon the captives of the host of the king of Assyria. He took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And if you'll read a little further in that story in 2 Kings 17 and 18, we find that after the northern half was taken, the Assyrians came in and took a lot of Judah. Now here, they come in, the king of Assyria comes in, and he takes the king of Judah. This is before the Babylonian captivity. This is the Assyrian king. And bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Because remember, the king has covered the same territory in the two different times. And listen to what happened. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to the region, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Here is one of the most wicked kings that ever sat upon the throne of the nation of Judah or Israel. God took him into captivity, and he was converted and turned around and went back and sang his song. Now, you see, we despair. We say, oh, we have certain people up there as president, and God sure couldn't do anything with them. Well, here was one of the worst things that people ever had. And look what happened to him. When he lies in a pit. Sorry to have to use those words, but it looks like we are like our king. We don't turn until we are in position. Now, after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the river and went up to Pisgah, and compassed about Ophel, and raised him up to a very great height, and put captains of war in all the kings that he could give, and he took away the finished God and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Isn't that something? No, we make the mistake of thinking that if some presidential leader in America is going to turn on a God and help turn this nation, that he's got to be a good man and he's in a millionaire. And you know, we have put what we have thought was good men in there, and they didn't do anything. Now, here is a man that I doubt if one of you would have ever voted for if you had a chance of picking as a ruler over Israel. In fact, you would have been active in the impeachment series all around the nation, right? Time to get rid of this man. And what did God do with it? God turned him right around, and he went back into the office of king, and he tore down all the idols he thought to be the Lord. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice here in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seer that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the books of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sins, and his sisters, and the places wherein he brought high places, and had gold, and daily wages, before he was humbled, behold, they are written among the bones of the seer. So Manasseh fled with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and him and his son, buried him in his death. Now, I want to show you how really wicked this king was, because although he was converted and turned around and did these things, there are some other things which you must understand about him. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 21. Because if there's anything I want you to get out of this, it is not to despair, no matter how wicked that king is or president or whatever that we have over our nation. God is the ultimate authority. God has the final power. And that's the lesson. It may take us a long time to learn. 2 Kings 21, we read part of that, of course. Now, this is after he's dying here. Verse 18, and Manasseh slept with his fathers, and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and him and his son reigned in his stead. Verse 23, and the servants of Amon conspired against him, and slew the king in his own house. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his king. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. So that was the grandson of Manasseh in chapter 23. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughters of Anah of Bosheth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And then you've got all of chapter 22, and all of chapter 22 about Josiah. He was a king of his great grandfather Hezekiah, and he turned Judah back to the worshiping of the true God of Israel, and he destroyed all the idols, and so on. It didn't take time to read all this. However, Manasseh's sin was so great in the years that he was king, that we read this in 2 Kings 23, verse 25 through 27. Picking up Josiah here for a moment, and like under him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, or in spite of this, Josiah doing this, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocation that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city to Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. Now, and now the rest of the acts of Josiah, And then it goes on. In other words, Manasseh's sin was so great, and he was such a wicked king, that even though he eventually turned and got Israel back to God, God said, no, even though they have, in spite of that, I'm going to send them into captivity because of Manasseh's sin. And then there were two more kings. Verse 31, Jehoahaz was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And then, verse 36, Jehoiakim was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Verse 37, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. Chapter 24, and in his days, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 2 years, and he turned and rebelled against him, and the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant the prophet. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he told Jerusalem the innocent blood which the Lord would not pardon. Just think of that. This king was so wicked, and yet God turned him, and yet in the final analysis, God says the whole nation is going to have to suffer. Because of the wickedness of this king, and the things that he did, and the innocent blood that the Lord would not pardon. You know, when I read some of these things, yes, it's a great story of the sovereign power of God, and what God can do with a wicked king, and wicked people, and he can turn them. But let's remember, God